Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open our hearts, to open our minds to your word, to the life that you offer to us and which you have given to us to share with others. Warm our hearts, light our lives with your befriending spirit. Help us in a world that often grows cold to make you present, to make your values present and alive, to bring the men and women of our world to a realization of the important place that you play in our lives and in theirs. Help us not to lose heart, but help us to realize that the work that we do is your work. Make us into your people. We ask this as we always do, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We are extremely privileged this morning to be able to worship under the leadership of the Roman Catholic Bishop of Raleigh, the Reverend F. Joseph Gossman. I learned of Joseph Gossman about the middle of last semester and was quite eager to get in touch with him and have him to come and lead us in worship. And I find that it's the most opportune occasion for him to come this week, inasmuch as this is Christian Unity Week. Bishop Gossman was born in Baltimore, Maryland. There he spent most of his life and engaged in most of his ministry, except for a few years in which he did his undergraduate study in Rome and 3 years of graduate study in Washington, D.C. He was ordained a priest in Rome in 1955 and served in several of the pastoral and administrative positions with the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Baltimore until 1968. In 1968, he was appointed auxiliary bishop of the Archbishop of Baltimore, who was at that time Lawrence Cardinal Sheehan. From 1970 until his appointment as Bishop of Raleigh in 1975, he worked with 50 city parishes in Baltimore. At present, serving as the Roman Catholic Bishop of Raleigh, he superintends approximately 45,000 Catholic people in 54 Eastern counties who worship together in 60 parishes and 26 missions, served by approximately 75 priests and 110 sisters. So he has an extremely opportune and responsible position. We look forward to his leading us in worship momentarily after we enjoy and participate in the worship led for us by the singing of the anthem.
Our reading is from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here ends the reading. I would like, first of all, to thank Dr. Spencer for the invitation to come to conduct this service and to speak to you at this time. And I would like to express my gratitude to each one of you for the very fact that you are here. The reading that I have selected is one that is quite familiar. And I selected it because it places a very special stress upon the relationship that is supposed to exist between the believing Christian person and the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless I am mistaken, I think that both your Baptist tradition and my Roman Catholic position place a great deal of stress upon this relationship that exists between ourselves and God. It is, I think, according to our traditions, a relationship that gives life, that nurtures and sustains us in a new and different way, that opens up possibilities to us which would not exist were the relationship not to be there. A relationship that is supernatural, above and beyond ordinary human things. A relationship that begins at least with baptism, but one that continues and deepens as our lives go on. For both Baptists and Roman Catholics, the relationship I am speaking of between the Lord and ourselves is a deeply personal relationship. I am familiar with the stress that Baptists usually put upon the personal dimension of accepting the Lord Jesus as one's personal Savior. And while I realize that by your definition, not everyone who is a baptized Roman Catholic would fit the category of being a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus as his or her personal Savior, nonetheless, it is very evident from Catholic theology that a genuine Roman Catholic Christian person does believe in and does accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. The reason that I have decided to speak about this morning is because I believe that perhaps by coincidence and perhaps for other reasons, that in interfaith dialogue and conversation and discussion, that if we begin by things that we share, we are much better able at some future time to deal with those where we realize that there are differences. I believe that the stress and the emphasis, which is given especially by Baptists to the personal relationship between the believer and the Lord God through faith in Jesus Christ, I believe that that could be a very effective bridge between the two denominations, the Roman Catholic tradition and the Baptist tradition. And I say that for the reasons that I will now elaborate on. From my limited experience and familiarity with the details of Baptist theology, I am assured that the central place that is given to this personal relationship between the believing Christian person and the Lord Jesus is central to your theology. At the same time, I am very familiar with our Roman Catholic people, at least in the United States, and I sense among them and among many other Christian people a real hunger for an experience of this personal relationship that is so much a part of your tradition. I believe that the interest that exists today in charismatic and other prayer groups frequently exists because people realize that while their faith tells them many things about God and their relationship with God, that unless their faith is experienced, is lived, is perceived, is felt, that somehow or other they feel that there's more to it, that there's something greater and deeper and better that they have yet to be familiar with, yet to experience. And I think that it is their yearning, their hunger for that, that puts people in your tradition in a unique place, because I think that your tradition stresses and underlines and accents this relationship much more than ours does, even though it is very much a part of our theology, that there is a unique and personal relationship between the believer and the Lord. Time and time again, both in my ministry in Baltimore and my ministry here, I talk to people who are looking for an experience, a sensing that gets beyond simply what goes on in their head of the relationship that does exist, which they believe exists by faith, but which so often seems remote from their own experience and their own lives. They're looking for a sense of being related to and connected with God. And they're not finding it, many of them. They're not finding it in the Roman Catholic liturgy as we celebrate it today. They're not finding it in their faith life. And yet they know, almost intuitively, I think, that there's more to it. There has to be. And I think that the attractiveness that many of them find in many elements that are very fundamental and very much a part of the Baptist tradition puts you in a unique relationship to that world filled with people that are seeking something that is very much a part of you and your tradition. People are looking more than ever for this inner conviction of faith that God loves them, but they want something more than an inner conviction. They're seeking a deeper awareness, an experience that is beyond an intellectual affirmation. And I think that this something deeper, something more profound, and something greater that they sense but are still searching for, while none of us will ever have it in a total way, I suspect that it's much more a part of your tradition than it is of our tradition. And I think that that could offer great opportunities for bridge building, for conversations, for dialogue, for our enriching our own Roman Catholic tradition by the experience that comes from a tradition such as your own. In other words, I think what I'm saying is that you of the Baptist tradition have what many Catholics at least, and I suspect that many other Christians other than your own denomination are really yearning and hoping for in their religious life. The awareness that Jesus Christ and I have a special, personal, and deep relationship. As I've said, we have it in our theology, but in our effort to say things, we obviously can't say everything all the time, and so it's really not at the forefront of our religious life or of the religious life of our people. And while we affirm it, I'm not sure that we do much more for many of them except to affirm it, but not to give them the experience that they are seeking and yearning for. It's my suspicion and also my hope that the present interest among other Christians, especially Roman Catholics, for which I can testify personally, in this religious experience, in the central place in your tradition, that the Lord Jesus does relate to us in a unique and special way, that this offers us unique possibilities for understanding, for approachment and rapprochement, for dialogue, and for ecumenical and interfaith progress for both your tradition and for ours. Whether my hopes and my suspicion proves true, I'd like to conclude these remarks with a few of what I call my own personal convictions. First of all, I believe that it is God's will that the Christian churches be united. I may not know how that can come about, and you may not know how it can come about, but if it is God's will, it will come about. I believe it is His desire. I believe that there is certainly human effort required to facilitate and to make possible what God wants. And so I'm not saying that we have no role and no responsibility, but I believe that it is God's work. And because I believe it is God's work, the fact that I don't have all the answers does not discourage me. I believe that if it is God's will, it will come about. Secondly, I believe that the ecumenical interfaith movement that began in this century is the most significant religious development among the Christian churches of this century. I'm not sure that history will necessarily conclude what I have concluded, as our century is now three quarters over, but up until now, I think that this movement is the greatest single event, the greatest thing to happen to the Christian churches. And I say that well aware that we Roman Catholics got into it very late, almost embarrassingly late. Thirdly, I believe the division and the denominationalism of Christian churches is a scandal. When I see how much time and effort we go competing with one another instead of spreading the gospel of Jesus to a world that's hungry for it, I am scandalized. Very often, I think, this kind of division belies the love that we claim to live by, to believe in, and to preach. Fourthly, I believe that each of us from our own traditions brings a richness and a stress that very often is different from what other religious denominations have. And I think that if we do eventually have unity, whatever that will be, that we will not have to give up our traditions, but that the Christian church that is formed will be much richer because of the diversity that each of the denominations and traditions brings to it. I believe that by talking to one another, that better understanding is surely going to come about because we will be dealing with people, not just with ideas. And the dialogue and the conversation and the contact can only make things better. I do not believe that if we talk, all of our differences will vanish. We have differences, and we ought to know what those differences are. Experience with many interfaith conversations has proven that many of the differences that were thought to have existed on both sides really do not exist upon closer scrutiny. But these conversations and this dialogue is not meant to eliminate differences. It is meant to clarify exactly where the differences are, and they will not vanish simply from conversation. But we will get a new perspective, and very often that can be very illuminating and can also help our understanding. I believe that the very fact that we live in a world that finds Christians becoming fewer and fewer in terms of percentage, that even mere pragmatism should encourage us to work towards some kind of unity, which is not the unity perhaps that the Lord God wants, but just mere pragmatism, I think, demands that we try to do so. The eastern half of North Carolina is supposed to be one-third unchurched. That's a lot of people. And yet, so much of our, not just yours, mine, ours, so much of our time and effort frequently is spent trying to be in competition. And finally, simply to repeat the main point that I made earlier, perhaps as I suggested, the Baptist priority of personally experiencing Jesus Christ as Savior could provide a real bridge between Roman Catholics and Baptists. I truly hope so, and I'm here this morning to try to say it not only with my words, but with my presence. Let us pray. God, whom we call Father, you sent your Son into our world to be its true light. Pour out upon us the Spirit he promised, to sow the truth in our hearts and awaken in us and in all men and women obedience to the call of faith. May all be born again and consecrated to the new life of baptism and enter the fellowship of your one holy people. We ask this as we always do, through Christ our Lord. Amen.